everyone, and welcome to the Courage Conversation Show. I'm your host, Ashley Easter. I am the founder and executive director of Courage 365, and this is usually when I introduce you to a guest. But because this is our last episode of season four, don't worry, we'll come back next year with season five. But since this is our 10th episode of season four of the Courage Conversation Show, I'm going to do a solo cast. It's just going to be me and you, baby. Okay. So I have a couple things I want to talk to you about. One is something that's really been on my heart and mind recently about survivor healing. And the other is sharing with you some exciting news and changes that have happened. So I'm going to tell you about one cool thing first. We're going to talk about survivor healing and empowerment. Then I'm going to tell you about a new opportunity at the end. So the first thing you're probably noticing is we have a new background. That's right. The Courage 365 headquarters has moved, meaning my husband and I have moved to a newly renovated home. And so our setup is different. We're still working out the kinks with a couple of things, but yes, we've got a new background and I'm really excited. This is an opportunity for us to be able to do so much more with the community. We're really getting plugged into the new place where we live, which is Winston-Salem, and working with the local nonprofits there to see how we can partner and do cool new things together on a local level, because Courage 365 is national, but I really have a passion for having a local component. All right, so that's one of the biggest updates, one of the things that you probably noticed right away that is different. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is a concept that has been going over and over in my mind for the last couple weeks. I was actually having a conversation with one of our board members named Lyria Forsyth the other week, and it just really struck me, the conversation we were having around survivor healing. And that is around survivors having the choice and the autonomy to step onto their healing path and journey. Now, let me back up and share a little bit about my story and why this means so much. So if you have listened to any of the Courage Conversation episodes, if you have watched me on other podcasts, giving talks, listened to me during the 30 Days of Courage in the past, you probably already know that I grew up in a cult-like environment and I experienced multiple forms of abuse. Today, I'm not going to hash out all those details again. You can catch that in previous episodes on our YouTube channel or on our podcast. But today, I do want to talk about what it was like when I left those abusive environments and stepped onto my healing path. Something that I learned that I think could be potentially life-changing for you and your healing journey. So when I was experiencing abuse, I did not have autonomy. I did not have the freedom, the choice to protect myself. And that can come at a lot of different levels. There can be the physical safety element. There can be the mind control elements of people really beating you down and beating down your self-esteem. There were a lot of elements where scripture was used against me. So I thought I had to trust certain people when they were not trustworthy. There was a lot of things that took away my choice and autonomy, or my perceived ability to make choice and autonomy in my life. And if that sounds like you, that is what it's like for most survivors. We experience some form of abuse and it took away our power. It took away our choice and our autonomy. And abuse is never our fault. The only person who is at fault, or people who are at fault, are the ones who chose to do the abusing, because they had choice and autonomy in that situation when they were taking away ours. A lot of times people make excuses for abusers. Oh, they had anger issues. Oh, they had a mental health problem. Oh, they did this, that, or the other. And those elements may be factors in their life, but at the end of the day, they made a conscious choice to hurt us. And that was their fault, not ours. Our choice, our autonomy, our power was taken away in those moments. And there was nothing in that moment that we could have done differently. Maybe our bodies went into fight, flight, freeze, fawn. or one of the other trauma responses that people often go to in these situations. Whatever it was, however you responded or reacted, it was one of those things where we did not have choice and power. Okay, so I just want to establish that there, right off the bat, that the abuse was not your fault. It wasn't my fault. We couldn't have done something in that moment. However, and I'm talking to people who have left abusive environments and are no longer in a dangerous situation, our situation is different now. Now that we have escaped, now that we have gotten free of that abuse, now that we have moved from being a victim, which is somebody who is actively being harmed, to a survivor, somebody who is no longer being harmed and has survived and is on the other side, we do have choice and autonomy. And a lot of times we get frustrated because I've heard these messages, and you let me know if you've heard these as well, but I've had people tell me or insinuate things to me like, time heals all wounds, or you just need to get over it. It's time to move on, forgive and forget. And there's this idea that somehow we can just flip a switch and all of a sudden our trauma isn't going to affect us anymore. That if we just give it enough space and time, doing nothing with it, that all of a sudden we'll be healed. Or that if we can just forgive and forget, if we can just move on, it's all going to be okay. But we know the reality is trauma takes a while to heal. And it's not just the time element. It is also the healing part that has to take place. And every survivor's journey to healing looks different. Now, on the show, we have talked about many times before these myths that people try to place on us about time heals all wounds and about how we need to just forgive and forget and how all of that is bogus. But what I don't think we've talked about before is how sometimes we do that in our own mind. Sometimes, even if we're not saying those exact words in our minds, we start to live as if those things are true. We start to live as if we just wait it out, we will receive healing. We sometimes live as if we can just forgive and forget and move on and not do any work and be healed. Sometimes we even get into a rut where we even believe that somebody outside of us and not our own free choice and autonomous will is what will heal us, that somebody else has to come in and give us healing. And that can cause us to be really stiff and stagnant in our healing journey because it's frustrating. It's so frustrating. You should not have to heal. Let me just say that right off. It should not be your responsibility that you have to do the work of healing. It's not fair. It's not your fault that you're in this place. It sucks that you had this trauma to deal with. You shouldn't have to be going through this and even have to worry about being on a healing journey. But here we are. And the truth of the world is, for us to receive healing, we have to be active participants. Just like we reject the notions of what other people say, that time heals all wounds, that we just need to forgive and forget, that we just need to get over it, we also cannot fall for those mind tricks that our mind tries to play on us, that we can just wait it out and all of a sudden we'll feel better, that we can just wait for somebody else to give us healing. Those things don't work. For you to receive the healing that you deserve, you actually have to be an active participant. And while it sucks that we have to do that work, that is the only way to get where we want to go. That is the only way to accomplish and receive the healing that we so desperately want and quite honestly, righteously deserve. So, what can it look like when we are stuck in the mindset that it is not in our power to create healing for ourselves and instead we need to rely on other people? That could look like us misusing healing tools or at least having misset expectations for healing tool. Here's an example. We've talked about this on the show many times as well, but therapy can be an amazing tool. But if you go into a therapy session believing that it is the therapist's job to fix you and to just hand you healing on a silver platter, you're probably not going to get much out of that healing session. Therapy is a powerful tool, but it's a tool that is put into our hands that we then have to work and use to get healing for ourselves. I've experimented with a lot of different healing tools, whether it is therapy. I've been in therapy for years. I plan to be in therapy for years. I've used EFT tapping. I've used breath work, journal prompts, courses, programs, coaches, all kinds of things. These tools have been incredibly valuable. But the only way they worked for me is if I actually took the tool and applied it to my life, did the work, and used it for myself. This is not a judgment thing, but it is something that I see sometimes in the survivor community. There are those people that grab those tools and they work hard with them. They fight for their healing. And at the end of the day, they get what they want. Then I've seen other survivors. And again, this is not a shame thing. This is just an acknowledgement of things that I've seen in this survivor community. There are some people who seem to expect others to hand them healing, and that is going to work to help them process the trauma that they went through. And though I wish it worked that way, if I had a magic wand and I could just wave it over you and wave it over me, and just all of a sudden we could be healed and not have trauma triggers, if we could all of a sudden not have nervous system dysregulation, I would do that in a heartbeat. If I had a genie in a bottle and it gave me three wishes, all three wishes I would use on helping survivors instantly heal their trauma. But that's not the reality of the world that we live in. For us to experience healing, we have to be active participants. And even though in the past with our abuse, it was the abuser who was taking an active role in deciding what happened to us in life, for us to have a different story in our life and to experience the healing, we have to now take an active role in our life and grab onto those healing tools and work on them. There are some people that I have seen stuck in their healing journey because they go to all kinds of sessions. They listen to tons of podcasts. Maybe they've even been in therapy, but when they are given tools, they don't actually use the tool. They don't actually put in the work. And I'm not shaming people for that, because there are some times in our lives when we just can't get to a point where we can use those tools. There are some points in our life where we just need to focus on surviving. But when we get to a place where we are really ready to step onto that healing journey, it is important for us to take an active role and make a choice to get on the healing path. We can't expect others to hand it to us. We have to take it from them and use the gift to create healing for ourselves. So what would that look like? That could look like a variety of things. It could look like showing up to your therapy session and doing the hard work of sharing what is deep inside, listening to the tools that your therapist shares with you, and then putting those in play in your life, actually working on those on a daily basis. I'm not patting myself on the back here, but I do want to share with you, I'm not telling you this from a place of like, I don't do this work myself, because I do. For years and years, I have been working hard on my healing journey. And it's not that I never have trauma triggers, because sometimes they pop up. It's not that I never have a bad day, because sometimes I do. But because I've fought for my healing, I have more good days than bad. And on the bad days, I have tools to use, whether that's professionals to reach out to, tools that I can use on my own, or a community I can get support from. But the key for me has been I've had to work on building that, creating that in my life, and creating a life where I am feeling free and living in my full autonomy. So that was a therapy example. Maybe another one is somebody's listening to a ton of podcasts, even like this. I love to listen to podcasts, but what can happen sometimes is you can flood your mind with information and it can completely overwhelm you with options, but you don't take steps towards your healing based on the information you heard. Information is good and it is the first place to start to understand what happened to you. But if you actually want to heal, it's got to be more than just understanding what happened. It's got to be learning what you can do to make a difference in your life so you can start to feel better. Now, I am not advocating for some kind of miracle cure here. It takes work. And sometimes it takes work for us to figure out what tools are going to be the right fit. Maybe breath work doesn't work for you. but EFT tapping does. Maybe you prefer group therapy instead of one-on-one therapy. Maybe it's the type of thing where you found that taking a walk regulates your nervous system, but somebody else, they need to take a nap to regulate their nervous system. I'm not advocating for a one-size-fits-all tool. What I'm advocating for is you discovering what tools work for you and then using them. I look at it this way. So if you wanted to create a beautiful garden and you didn't know how to do it, you could have a gardening expert. You could have all the tools, the shovels, the dirt, the seeds, the watering can, the whole thing. But if you just listen to that expert talk, if you just have those tools on the side and you don't use them, you're not going to be able to have a garden. And if that expert comes in and creates a garden, that was their garden that they created. It wasn't yours. You have to listen to what the gardening expert says. Then you've got to pick up that shovel. You've got to dig into the soil. You've got to plant the seeds. You've got to water it, make sure it has sunshine. Go in and maybe prune and trim. You've got to do the work to grow that beautiful garden. And that is what I see for a healing path and a healing journey. It's useful to have experts giving us insights, but if we're not acting on those insights, if we're not using the tools, we are going to be in the same place today as we will be next year and the year after that. To really claim your healing, you've got to work for it. And as I said before, I know that's frustrating. I know it's another thing that you feel like you've got to do. And it's something you shouldn't have to do. None of this should have happened to you. But if you really want to experience healing, this is the way to do it. Now, for me, I have found that some of the most healing tools have been therapy. And again, I'm not waiting for the therapist to fix me. I'm waiting for the therapist to give me tools that I can use. I found that I needed to find supportive community, and I didn't wait for them to show up for me. I spoke up about what I was experiencing to attract those kinds of people in my life. I reached out to people who I knew had similar experiences to talk to them and create connections. And not every person I reached out to was a great connection. Not every therapist I worked with did I end up working with long term. So sometimes it takes a minute to find the right tool that works for you. But I was the one who had to advocate for myself. I was the one who had to do the work. I was the one who had to initiate and take those steps on my healing journey. And you know what? After doing that, after taking courses and doing tools and all kinds of things, I really am at a very happy place in my life. Again, not every day is a good day, but now I've built this system around me where I know where to reach out for support. I know what tools I have in my back pocket that I can actively use in my life. So this is just an encouragement for you today. It's not a shaming thing. If you haven't taken that step on your healing journey, if you've just been waiting for someone else to show up and give you healing, this is not intended to shame you. It's hopefully here to give you this encouragement that things can be different, that while you didn't have autonomy in the past, you do now, and you do have the opportunity to control a lot of things in your life. There are some things that will always be outside of our control, but there are also a lot of things that are in our control. And one of those is pursuing our healing path and being consistent with it. And yes, it's okay to take breaks. And yes, it's okay to have bad days, but reminding ourselves that we are the ones that have to go out and grab our healing. No one's going to give it to us on a silver platter. We've got to do this. But here's the thing. You don't have to do it alone. You do not have to do this journey alone. And Courage 365 has a lot of tools and resources to aid you in that. Here's the trick, though. We have tools and resources, but you've got to use them. So if you're feeling isolated and not in a community, we've got some options for you. One of those is our text message list. So if you text the word COURAGE to 917-809-7311, every morning, Monday through Friday, you'll get an empowering text message. And if you want to respond, you can. And I'm the one who responds back. If you want to build a community of other survivors and feel support that way, we have our COURAGE 365 group. Now, I've known some people who have stepped into the group and they're like, I didn't make connection. And I understand that. But my question is always, how did you try to make those connections? Because just joining a Facebook group probably isn't going to connect you to your BFF survivor friends. What you're probably going to have to do is comment on posts, make posts in there, reach out to people to connect in the group, maybe ask them if you could send them a private message and share your story with them or share your interests with them and take it from there. Building a relationship with other people in the survivor community takes work as well. We can't just expect people to show up and all of a sudden be our friend. A lot of times we've got to initiate those things, but that's a tool we have. We have tools on our need help page on the website. There's a whole list of different resources depending on the type of trauma or abuse you've experienced. But the list doesn't help if you don't look at the list and choose which one of the organizations or tools to use. You've got to reach out. You've got to participate in your own healing. We also have a free resource feature on our website where we've got trainings that have workbooks and videos and courage cards and all kinds of useful things. But they don't work if you just listen to the talks and you don't take the tools and healing advice. They work best when you put something into it and actually reach out to claim your own healing. So that's all I'm here to advocate for today, is that I want you to experience the best life possible. And whether you use the tools we've created or tools that somebody else has created, there's not a one-size-fits-all healing path. My goal is just to encourage you to take that step, to make that choice, to realize you're no longer in a situation where somebody else can control every aspect of your life. And if you want something, you deserve to go out and get it. And even if you're not at a place in your life where you feel deserving of all the goodness that's out there, that's okay. There's lots of people that get what they want when I objectively don't think they deserve it. There are bad people who make a lot of money when I don't think they should have that money sometimes, but they still get the money. There are good people who do the work and get a lot of money. And in this instance, we're not talking about money. We're talking about healing, but it's not even about whether you're worthy of it or not. So don't let that be the thing that's holding you back from it. But as you walk on that healing journey, the more and more you'll realize you actually are worthy of it. So don't let not feeling worthy yet hold you back from stepping on the path. Because whether a person is worthy or not, they can get those healing tools. But I know that you're worthy. And when you step on that path, you're going to begin realizing how worthy and deserving you are of those good things. All right. So I've got another exciting announcement to share with you. And that is that we have the 30 Days of Courage coming up. I'm so excited about this. We've done it for, I think this is our fourth year of the 30 Days of Courage. It is one of our favorite events. It's something that we put our heart and soul into it. And honestly, we could charge big bucks for people to participate in this. Like, it is worth it. The type of experts, the type of healing tools we give people, we could charge a lot of money for it, but it's free. It's totally and completely free for the survivor community as our gift to you. But just like I was talking about before, for you to really get the benefit out of it, you've got to participate. For you to really get the benefit out of it, you've got to take the time and invest in yourself by participating in it, not just passively listening, which that's okay if that's where you're at in your healing journey. Again, I'm not trying to shame people, but if you really want to get the most out of this program that, again, we could charge hundreds of dollars for people to participate in, for you to really get your value out of it, even though it's totally free, you've really got to spend the time to participate. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this program. I'm going to look at my phone here because we have so many different details and I don't want to miss any of it. Okay, so it starts October 1st and it lasts through the 30th. We do not have an event every night during the 30 Days of Courage. Once a week, we have a panel. The first week, we'll have a speaker, which will be me introducing things on October 1st, then we'll have four panel discussions and we'll have self-care challenges the whole month. And we've specifically designed these self-care challenges to be simple, but highly effective. And if you hear about our self-care challenges, which are all going to be focused around investing in yourself and your healing as a survivor, if you think, oh, that sounds so simple, sometimes it's the simplest things that make the biggest shifts in our life. So committing to doing the work and investing in yourself, that's really where you're going to see the transformation. So every week we'll have self-care challenges and we'll have prizes at the end of the week for those who participated in them. Every week we are also going to be having discussion questions inside the group. It'll be a great place to meet people. There will be some support groups on the weekends if you want to discuss things with other survivors and advocates. It's a great place to get to know others. And I'm super excited about the panels we have. So in the past, we have done something where we've had one speaker. I may have interviewed them or they may have given a talk, and that was great. But this year, we felt like we need to freshen things up a bit. And we don't have one speaker per night. We have panels 4 times during the 30 Days of Courage. And these experts are incredible. So let me scroll here on my phone and tell you what all the panels are going to be. So October 1st, I'm going to be giving a talk and sharing about what to expect in the 30 Days of Courage. October 4th, we are going to have a panel about unmasking cults, and we are inviting TV documentary specialists, people who have been in cults and had those cults covered on documentaries. So some of the people will be Emily Anderson from Shiny Happy People. We have Sarah Edmondson from The Vow, the NXIVM cult, if you're familiar with that one. Mattson Browning from Escaping Polygamy. And we're going to have a discussion that goes deeper than what was on those documentary hit shows. All of those shows have gotten so many views. They've been so fascinating. But I feel like they just scratched the surface. And in that October 4th panel, we're going to be going so deep with these people. We're going to have conversations about unmasking cults. And not only will we have some pre-planned questions, but we're going to open it up for a live Q&A. And you can submit questions live and get them answered by our guests. So you are definitely going to want to participate in that. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. October 10th, we are going to have a panel called Demystifying Coercive Control. Coercive control is a big buzzword these days, but it just means control, where somebody is coercing you into doing what they want you to do. This can happen in abusive relationships, in child sexual abuse, in cults, all across the gambit. And so we are bringing in several experts. One is Ashlyn Hilliard, and she is a cult intervention specialist. And she actually has a degree in coercive control. She is fascinating. If you don't follow her on social media, it's going to be incredible. And then we have Claudia King, who is a survivor, but she's also an ex-police officer. So she has seen so many different counts of coercive control. Then we have Nathan Spiteri. He is a male survivor and an activist. He's going to be talking about coercive control from his experience as a man and experience abuse as a boy and how coercive control played into that. And then last but not least on that panel, we have Dr. Mary Ann, and she is a domestic violence survivor counselor. She has seen coercive control on so many different levels. This is going to be a fascinating discussion. And again, a Q&A at the end so you can participate. Then we have October 17th. That panel is Inside the Mind of a Predator. So Dr. Deborah Warner, she's a forensic psychologist. We actually heard her talk last year, but she's coming back because she has such a breadth of knowledge. She actually works in prisons and helps judges give recommendations to judges about which people get out of jail on parole and which ones don't. So it's very fascinating hearing her information about predators and how we can keep ourselves safe. Then, of course, we have Maureen Garcia. And she actually, back in the day, she was married to a man that she found out was a pedophile. And she escaped from that marriage with her children. And she has spent years studying the minds of predators and how deceptive and tricky they are. This conversation, like, hardly anybody's having this discussion. A lot of times we talk about surface level red flags. We're going deep with this inside the mind of a predator so you can beware. And again, all questions are on the table. Get ready to put those in the comments when we do that one. And then our last panel on October 24th is going to be about religious trauma syndrome. So a lot of people have talked about church hurt, and that's good. But only recently have psychologists been really recognizing this as a syndrome. Religious trauma syndrome has been coined fairly recently, and it's something that a lot of therapists don't even understand or address. And so it's going to be super important, whether you're a survivor or an advocate or a helping professional, to tune into this panel, because we have Dr. Sandra Lewis. She is a religious trauma therapist and expert, somebody who focuses on this and has for years. Then we have Sarah Stankorb. She has investigated religious trauma. She's an investigative journalist and an author. She came out with a book called Disobedient Women very recently, where she followed the stories of a lot of religious trauma survivors, and it is powerful. And then on that panel, we have Jeremy Coleman. He's a pastor, but wait, he is one of the types of pastors who is constantly calling out abuse on social media. We're not going to be getting into religious beliefs. We're going to be really careful about trauma triggers, that type of stuff. But he is somebody who works with people who have been traumatized on a regular basis and wants to make faith communities safer. So that's going to be a valuable panel discussion. You're not going to want to miss this. And then the last day, October 30th, we're going to be doing something a little different than we've ever done before, something that's going to be fun. So some of these topics are heavy, and we're going to be mindful of trauma triggers, and we always have an empowerment upswing on all of our talks, but we're going to be doing something that's a lot of fun on the 30 Days of Courage, and that is a live trivia game show. A live trivia game show. We've never done this before. You have to come and see what it's like. We're going to have three contestants on the show. We're going to be quizzing them about different things, different definitions, different terms, different things like that. It'll be educational, and it'll be polling information that was learned during the panel. So there's two parts to this. We'll have the live part that people will be watching with the three contestants, and then there'll be an interactive portion. So you can just sit back and watch it, or you can be on your computer or your phone listening in and typing in what answers you think are to the question. So it can be interactive and participatory if you want, but you're going to have a better chance of knowing the answers if you come to all four of those panel discussions. All of them are going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There will be replays if you can't catch them live. I'd really invite you to join. And all you have to do to get in on it is go to our Facebook group. Now, we've got two Facebook pages. One is a public one, that's just Courage 365. And then one is our private group. And that's where all the good stuff is happening. It's Courage 365 group. And if you haven't joined already from the past, you'll have to answer a couple of questions, because we do screen people to try to make things as safe as possible. All you have to do to join is get inside that group. A schedule will be uploaded towards the end of September, the beginning of October. And we would just love for you to be here. It's going to be a time of empowerment, of education. There's going to be tools given. But here's the thing. You can just sit and tune in, and we welcome you to do that. Or if you're ready to step on your healing path, you can really participate, giving your all to those self-care challenges and really just engaging with the group. That's how you're going to get the most out of this 30 Days of Courage. Like I said, we could easily charge several hundred dollars for this because of the quality of experts we have on there and the type of self-care challenges that we do, the prizes that we give away, all the stuff. But we're doing this as our gift to you for free. We're handing you a tool. We're giving you the experts, but you've got to take the tool. You've got to do the work. And the first step to that is making sure you're inside the Courage 365 Facebook group. All you have to do is search Courage 365 group. You'll also see the link at the bottom of this screen. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to thank you for your participation all of this fourth season of the Courage Conversation Show. We have a lot of other exciting things happening in the future that I cannot wait to tell you. I'm just bursting at the seams. But the 30 Days of Courage is the first one coming up. So be sure to join our Facebook group, the Courage 365 Facebook group, to participate in that. There will be replays. There will be opportunities to catch up if you're traveling, that type of thing. But we hope you participate because this could literally be life-changing if you take this seriously and really use your choice to participate. Use your choice to take advantage of these free but valuable tools we're offering you. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'll see you during the 30 Days of Courage. And as always, live with courage.